Hebrews chapter 11, read this. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Just a very anchor standing truth for us that we do need faith in this life. We do need to believe God. For he that comes to God must what? Believe. What happens when you come to God? What must you do? Believe. There's a lot of things people think they need to do and a lot of good things we could do and a lot of religious action, spiritual action, lots of things. But the first thing, if you're going to come to God, you must what?
Believe.
You must believe. And so we've been talking about believing God so that we get it right, so that we actually do believe God. So we focus on the right things, major on the right things, and enjoy the truth of God. So we around here believe God. Isn't that true? Everybody here believes God to some degree. But I want to make sure that we've had in our soul resides this thing where we know Him and believe Him, and that excites us. That fires us up. That gives us the momentum we need for today. So he that comes must believe that He is. You have to believe that He's everything. And you could do a whole, discussion on what does that mean, believe that He is. That He's the I Am. That He's the everything. That His names all count. That His promises all come to pass. Believe that He is. That He's the promise giver. He's the truth bringer. He's the one that never lies. And all of the things that God is, you have to believe that He is. That He's the helper of those that need help. That He's the prayer answer of those that have prayer need. That He's everything to you. No matter how old you are, He's there for you. No matter what you have need of, man, He's the one. So you got to believe that. And once you start really believing that, you'll turn to Him really quickly. Once He gets real big in your soul, you're believing that He is. Sometimes, people's problems are real big in their soul, and God's a tiny dot at the end of the highway. You're driving down the highway and you think you see something way off. It's a skyscraper way off. It looks about that big. Sometimes people's image of God is about that big. And what's around them is huge, looming, saddening, depressing. But if you'll just get closer to the thing, if you'll get closer to God, God will get bigger. And so the second scripture I want to go to is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 in the Old Testament. In the middle of the Bible, just go middle of the Bible and you can't be too far. Middle of the Bible and you can't be too far. Psalm 23 starts with a P, Psalms. It's okay if you don't know how to pronounce the books of the Bible. It's okay if you don't know where they're at. Everybody's been a new Christian at some point in your life. I said everybody's been a new Christian at some point in your life. You don't make fun of new Christians because they don't know where to go in the Bible. Don't ever feel condemned because you don't know the whole Bible yet. I led someone to the Lord one time and she said, I was reading in the book of Psalms the other day. And another lady said, she said, I know that Palms says, no, it's not the S that's silent. It's the P that's silent. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's Psalms. If you want to use English language, songs of some sort. And it's okay if you're still turning in your Bible to find Psalms. Just to relieve the new Christian, it's like you feel embarrassed because you don't know. And so you're turning and then when they start reading, you just stop. And you're in Isaiah or Revelation. It's okay. It's okay. We've all been there. You need to know it's okay to be a new Christian.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's read Psalm 23 here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Doesn't say He kills all the enemies, He just lets you have a party in their presence. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 6 is what we're talking about today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You need to know that, believe that, feel that, think on that. Let that be real large in you, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Some of you need to be reminded of that. Some of you need to remind yourselves of that, that goodness and mercy is what you can expect today and tomorrow. That you ought to be able to look back and say, yep, yep, there that is. That, yep, yep, there's the goodness. Sure, sure, yep, mercy. Mercy's part of my life. It's always kind of glued to me. So you and I wake up expecting the mercy of God. We expect the goodness of God. If you need a real reminder, do what Elaine did. She named her two dogs Goodness and Mercy. So every time she's calling goodness and mercy, that's scriptural. And every time she's walking around the yard or the house, she looks around, goodness and mercy's fall. That's a good reminder. You might need one of those. They sell dogs down at Trader's Village right down the road here. Just go get you a couple. Goodness and mercy is supposed to follow us all the days of our life. Now, some people don't feel that. Some people don't sense that there's been much goodness or mercy following them. And we're here to change that. We're here to change that because, see, life is big and messy, and sometimes Christians forget. And if you're a new Christian, maybe you've never experienced God's goodness and God's mercy, and so you need to. And so we're here to help you experience His goodness and mercy. So much that it becomes a very personal, intimate relationship. So much that goodness and mercy can jump up in your lap and lick your face. You need to be so close to God's goodness and mercy that you trust Him in it. That it's part of His character so much to you that nothing can wipe the smile off your face. That no matter how dumb you've been or how bad you think you are, goodness and mercy still follows you. So you and I need to have some faith in His goodness and mercy. There's tons of scriptures concerning His goodness and His mercy. You need to know every one of them. The writers of the Bible, filled with the Holy Spirit, wrote the word goodness and mercy a whole bunch. The mercies of God, His mercies everlasting, the goodness of God all the days of your life. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit emphasizes, you ought to emphasize. So going through this life, sometimes it doesn't look like it's too easy to get God's goodness. It's like you keep running into stuff that bangs you in the head. Well, we're here to change that today. His goodness and mercy is necessary, and you're going to have to believe it. Okay, so all these things of God are inside us already. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you have been born again, then inside you is His kingdom. Inside you is His presence. Inside you is His goodness and His mercy. Inside you. And that's why Ephesians chapter 1 says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are already blessed with every spiritual blessing. But if you don't feel it, that just means it's resident in you, but it hadn't come up yet. That means you're clogged. We're going to help you get unclogged today. We're going to help you experience God's blessing today. Matter of fact, at the end, we're going to lay hands on you to help the blessing sprout up. We're going to help the blessing of God explode on your life. And so you're going to have to believe that. Right now, believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you haven't been diligently seeking Him, believe that there's others who have. And when we pray for you, when we lay hands on you, bam, there it comes. You know, everybody that followed Jesus around, they weren't diligently seeking God necessarily. They just believed that He was. You must believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's why we go to other people sometimes, because I'm sure hoping you've been diligently seeking Him. Will you pray? Will you lay hands? But you got to believe. I want you to know that God's for every one of you. He's looking out for every one of you. He cares deeply about every one of you. And all He's waiting on you to do is just believe Him. Believe Him enough to ask. Believe Him enough to believe. Believe Him enough to receive. Believe Him enough to seek. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. There's something about diligently seeking God. And so in the next 30 minutes, I'm expecting us to diligently seek Him. It doesn't say you have to diligently seek Him for 10 years. How about just 10 minutes? How about diligently seek God at least for 30 minutes? Praise the Lord. Diligently seek Him for about 10 minutes and you'll get a 10-minute quickie. Diligently seek Him every day of the week. You'll get blessed every day of the week. You'll get rewarded every day of the week if you can do it every day of the week. And I don't think it's necessarily that rigid, but let's at least diligently seek the Lord sometimes. In your soul should be, you know, I'm going after God today. Hey, y'all, don't call me. I'm going to diligently seek the Lord for an hour. That'd help a lot of people, wouldn't it? Psalm 145, verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy." Some people think He's quick to anger and that His mercy's run out on them. Don't ever think that. If you're alive and care about God and care about the Lord Jesus, then don't you ever dare think that. That He's slow to anger. Have you ever noticed how He's slow to anger? I mean, you've kept doing what you've doing for so long, He's still slow to anger. Aren't you glad? Slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to a few of you. Oh. The Lord is good to all. He's good to all. You count in that. Do you count in that? You count in all. He's good to all. He's good to you. You need to build that in your soul. You need to believe that. You need to think to yourself, He's good to me. Even if you hadn't got the prayer answered yet. Even if you hadn't got the best job, even though the money's still a little strange, even though you hadn't gotten married, even though the big thing you've been expecting hadn't come to pass, you have to start believing He's good to you. He's good to you. He's good to me. He's good to me. And when you get to heaven, you're going to realize He's good. And so all of your problems were not God. We can say it this way, none of your problems were God. And you'll realize it instantly upon seeing Jesus. So let's go ahead and believe that now. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. His tender mercies are over all His works. So anything in your life that has tender mercy on it is God's work. Anything in your life that is destructive, tragic, and doesn't have tender mercy is not God's work. Sometimes people think that God yanked them around all through life so harshly to teach them something or make them a better person. No, that wasn't God. God doesn't yank you around. That's not tender. That's not merciful. God's tender mercies are over His works. The harshness is the devil's work. Or people's work or your own work. Sometimes it's the fallen nature of us that yanks us around. Sometimes it's the devil or demons. But it's never God that yanks us around. With God, it's His tender mercies that are over His works. So this is His nature. What we're doing is we're believing Him. We're believing that He is. And that He's a rewarder of you. Some of you don't feel rewarded for the past three or four or five years. Well, let Him reward you today. Well, how's He going to do it? Who cares? If He rewards you, it's from God. It ought to be pretty good. So we need to expect. That's belief in action, is I'm expecting some good stuff. Well, I don't know if I'm going to get the job or not. I guess I'll apply. I don't know if I'm going to get the job or not. Well, you need to let God get bigger in your soul. Praise the Lord. Go to Matthew chapter 5 with me. Matthew 5. I'm telling you, if you want miracles in your life, this will have to be how you feel. In your soul, you'll have to feel that God is for you, not against you. You'll have to sense that He's present. You'll have to understand that He's good and merciful. You know, remember when Moses asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going." Because God had told him, "My presence is going to go with you, lead your children out of Egypt." And Moses like, "Look, if your presence doesn't go with me, I ain't going. I can't do anything without your presence." God said, I'll answer you. He said, and he hit him in the rock, and he said, I'm going to pass by you and let you see my backside. He said, my goodness is going to pass by you. He said, but I can't let you see my face. Nobody gets to see my face and live. Of course, that was before Jesus paid for sin. But he said, because I've known your name, he knew Moses face to face. He said, I'll let you see my backside, which was his goodness. It's important to see His goodness. It's real important for you to see God's goodness in your life. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. It's the goodness of God that causes you to change. So everybody in here should have seen His goodness by now. And if you haven't, we're locking the doors. It's so important for you to see His goodness so that you'll change. And that's why every service is a life-changing service. People are like, I'm tired of changing. I don't think I want to change. Well, don't come to church then. Because every time you come to church, you're supposed to change a little. Not by somebody forcing you, but because God's so good. It's His goodness that leads you to change. Isn't that wonderful? I think most of you would attest that, you know what? I came to the Lord because of His goodness. I stuck with the Lord because of His goodness. If He wasn't good, let's hide. But He's good, and that's what happens in church. That's what happens when you seek Him. You see His goodness, and that allows you to change a bit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let me talk just a little bit about mercy. So some promises of God are conditional. They're something that required of you. Other promises are a little bit simpler, maybe. Like just getting an image of His goodness and mercy in your soul might change your life, might cause a miracle, might unclog the pipe. The one thing that you've been needing is just to think how good He is or how merciful He is. But then other things, there's a little bit of conditional stuff, and so I won't do much on it today, but I wanted to throw this one out to you. Matthew chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said, blessed are you. Like, you'll be blessed if this and if that. And so here He said, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Stop there. So goodness and mercy is supposed to follow you, but here's a conditional promise that Jesus throws in there. Just to make sure, because if you're not following some of the principles, then your heart's going to feel guilty and rob you of what we're trying to do. We're trying to build this confidence in you about His goodness and mercy. But if your heart condemns you, if you're not right, then your faith will leak out and you won't be able to build this image of a big God. He'll remain a tiny little skyscraper on the horizon. Oh yeah, I believe in God. Oh, I know He can do anything. You don't act like that whenever you really see Him big. When He grows in your soul, it's like, everything's all right. It's different. It's just different. So we're trying to build that in us. And so we do want to make sure we're obeying principle or it'll contaminate us. So He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So if you want mercy following you, you're going to have to be a merciful person. How merciful are you? How merciful are you? How much mercy do you give out? How much overlooking people's faults do you do? Why is it so quiet in here, Fela? If you want, well, let's say it this way. If you have a lot of mercy in your life, you're merciful. How many sins and sinners have you let off the hook? In your own mind. It's very dangerous to not let sinners off the hook. And it coincides with your image of God. Do you think God's letting you off? Yes, He is. He's not making you pay for last week's sins. He's long-suffering. That means He's suffering long with your stupidity. Are you suffering long with other people's stupidity? Everybody wants God's mercy. Oh, God, be merciful to me. Are you being merciful? This is a big deal. I mean, this is you and I having the nature of God in us, allowing His nature to take us on. The way God does things is He starts it. He loves you first so that you can love Him. He loves us into loving. He gives us into giving. He's the example. He does it to you so that you'll do it back or do it outward. He's good so that you'll be good. He's merciful so you'll be merciful. The question is, are you merciful? It's amazing how easy it is for Christians to judge people. Here you got all this mercy. God let you in the kingdom, kept you in the kingdom, didn't kick you in the face when you blew it 10 times or 1,000 times, and then you can't let somebody else off the hook? Romans 2, don't turn there, says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things." And you'll find that in people that are real harsh, that can't allow the mercy and grace of God to keep us right. There's groups that are so determined that your sin today erases your salvation. They're so determined that if you don't live right, boom, you're out. You ought to live right. But you who judge do the same things. Here's what happens. I've been around long enough. How long, Pastor? Long time. How long? Well, long time. 25? Long time. And I've seen this. Those who judge are looking at people's outward sins and condemning those people. It's okay to condemn the sin. Yeah, you shouldn't do the thing. The reason they're doing it is because they've got other sins they feel guilty for. So they're beating themselves up by pointing the finger. Now, their sins may not be as outward, but they feel like they've come up short with God, and they're mad about it, because we are mad at sin. We're mad at our shortcomings. But don't take it out on somebody else. Let them have the mercy they need. You get the mercy you need. Let them have the mercy they need. And I've seen people slip right out of the palm of God. He's got you. As soon as you start in your heart judging somebody else, boom, you've just now put yourself in the devil's playpen. We've seen through the decades prominent preachers who called out another preacher's sin fall into the same thing publicly. Don't do it. Don't do it. Most of the people in error are trying to some degree to serve the Lord. Let Him judge His own servants. Who are you to judge another man's servant? That's what the Bible says. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? For his master's able to keep him up or let him fall. Let that be his master's decision. You're not anybody's master. You don't need to be their judge. So this is a big deal for us. If you're going to make it in the church, make it in Christianity, please the Lord, you're going to have to be very, very merciful. Everybody look across the aisle. Look at somebody. And just think to yourself how much mercy they need. It helps to look at people, right? Come on, can you look at people and love them? Can you look at people and let your heart just melt for them? Can you look at people and have real compassion? Can you look at people and think, man, they need God's mercy today? How about a close person in your life? Can you, somebody in your life that's really on your nerves, can you look at them or think about them and say, God, they need such mercy. Be so good to them today. See, the immature Christian will say, God, show them what they're doing. Ignoring during the prayer time that God's showing you what you're doing. They're so focused on somebody else's sin. Come on, this is basic Christianity. This is Matthew 5. I mean, we hadn't even got to Matthew 6 yet. This is early, early, early in your Christianity. You're going to have to get a different heart. Understand God's mercy enough to give it. Because His mercy is everlasting. We need His mercy every day. We need His mercy the rest of your life. You're going to have to be in tune with God's mercy. He's going to be merciful to you. You need faith in it. Not so that you can trample His mercy. Not so that you can do anything you want to do and just go get some mercy. But if you did do whatever you wanted to do, you can still get His mercy. Glory to God. Pretty exciting to me. One scripture says, in 1 Peter says, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted and courteous, that you may inherit a blessing. Yeah, your love walk matters. Your love walk matters in this life. Makes it easier to receive a blessing from God. He wants to bless more than you want it. But we got to keep our heart in the right place. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We're just building our confidence now. Building our belief. Building our faith in the goodness and mercy of God. Come on, the rest of our lives we're going to have to trust Him. We're going to have to know that He'll answer. We're going to have to be confident that He wants to bless us. The rest of our lives, goodness is what we expect. You could have a series of things that didn't go right for you. Cast them off and say, so what? God's goodness is for me. Goodness, mercy doesn't mean you won't have tribulation and problems. But the end of the problem. Come on, if you do it right, if you keep a right attitude, if you endure, then tribulation will build your faith. And when it's all over, you can look back and say, woo-hoo-hoo, I'm tough now. God never moved. He was always there. Circumstance went crazy. The world went crazy. People in my life went crazy, but God didn't go crazy. He's good and He's merciful, and I hung on to Him, and He brought me through. Psalm 103. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Hallelujah. Come on, those three right there. Forgives all your iniquities. How many iniquities?
All.
The word for iniquity would also be immorality. He forgives all your immoralities, who heals all your diseases. All those wrong thoughts that you have to deal with, He forgives that. I mean, He's coaching you to stop thinking those things. He's coaching you to stop anchoring on those things and harping on those things in your soul. But the bottom line is He forgives all those things. And He heals all your diseases. How many?
All.
How many?
All.
Come on, does He heal all your diseases or only some of them? Come on, this will help you through life. You got to determine this. You got to decide this. How big is this in your soul? Does He heal all? Does He even heal the ones that you caused yourself? Listen, some people have done things to themselves, and so they go through life thinking, well, I did it to myself. I deserve it. Well, you probably do deserve it, but that's why the cross happened. So He could save you from what you deserved. You know, you deserved more than that. You deserved to go to hell. We all deserve to go to hell because we've sinned. We've come short to God, and so we actually deserve to not be with Him. Holiness and unholiness don't get to be together. We deserve not to ever be with God, but Jesus brought us together. Jesus wiped out the handwriting that was against us. So you got to build this in your soul. It'll make it a lot easier to trust God. You'll be happier about God, and you'll pray more. You'll even ask God for more things. We're not really talking about things, but you'll even be more confident to ask God. You know, every time a teenager is getting close to age 16, I ask them, "Do you have your license yet?" "Well, no, I'm only 15. Are you practicing now so you can start driving at age 16? "I don't want to drive when I'm 16. "How are you going to earn any money? How are you going to produce anything for the world? How are you going to do errands for mom and dad?" "Well, I don't need to because they do all my errands for me." Exactly. When are you going to not make them do all of your life bidding? Hey, I'm from the old day when age 16, every single kid I knew had his license. Every single kid I knew was like the biggest day in their life. Why? Because then you can start producing. Then you can start being an adult. But every kid, when they're 15, I'm asking them, "Do you have your license?" "Well, I'm trying to get it." "Good, good. Do you have a vehicle yet?" "Well, no, I don't have a vehicle." "Have you asked God for a vehicle?" "Well, no." Every 15-year-old needs to ask God for a vehicle. And I don't know how he's going to bring it to you, but you need to ask God. See, if God is real big in your soul, you'll ask him for everything. "God, I want more cheese on my pizza than normal today." The other day, we were going to the movie, and it was raining, and so I thought, how far am I going to have to run with the umbrella and all that? I thought, wait, I'll just ask God. And I don't normally do that. You know, sometimes people think you're crazy if you ask God for little things like that. And I haven't done that in a long time, but the other day I did, and I said, "Lord, I need a close spot. Will you do that for me?" "Amen. Thanks, God." And wouldn't you know, there was a spot, there was a lady leaving right there. And then she wouldn't come out of the hole. I was praising God, thanking God, "That's so sweet, God. Thank you for being so good to me." She wouldn't come out. I'm like, well, that's how blessings look sometimes. They're almost there, and you're so excited, and then it's not perfect. Well, nothing's perfect. Just nothing's perfect. And so I'm sitting there waiting for this, and then somebody walks by, and they point just across the aisle, and there was another spot. I'm like, glory to God, two of them. Simple things. When God's big in your soul, when his goodness and mercy is reality to you, you can trust that he loves you enough. And it's easy. It's easy rather than, "I'm going to believe God." Verse 4, "Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Some of us need that one. "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever." This is Israel going in and out of sin. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Wow, do you see that? That David understood that part of God's nature even in the Old Testament. David was one that actually saw ahead and lived a partial life of new covenant blessing, understanding that God always has wanted his mercy to override his anger. Praise the Lord. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is your confidence boosted a little bit? Come on, is his goodness chasing you down? Yes. Is his mercy about to overtake you?
Yes.
Come on, is the blessing about to overtake you?
Yes.
Is there any way that God could possibly answer a prayer today?
Yes.
Is there any way that all the prayers you've prayed lately could actually some of them come to pass today?
Yes.
Is there any way that yes is the answer today?
Yes.
Is there any way that God loves you enough to help today?
Yes.
Is it possible you could pull out one of those spiritual blessings today?
Yes.
Come on, it's in you. God has already given you all things that you need. We're just going to pull them up by faith. We're going to pull them up upon us by faith. He's real. He is real. And he's yearning to be intimately real to you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You ready? Lift your hands to him. Come on, thank him for his goodness. He's good to you. Tell him you're good. Thanks for being good to you. You're so good to me. You're so good. You've been good to me. You've been good to me.
Thank you, Lord.
You've been good to me,
God.
Been
good to us, Lord.
I'm grateful to you, God. You've been good to me, Lord.
Been good to us, Lord.
Praise to God. You've been good to me.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, he's good to us.
Goodness and your mercy.
Come on, I'm getting some goodness
today.
Thank
you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Decide you're getting some goodness today.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to sing of his goodness.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We're
going to
sing of his goodness. Sing of his
Hallelujah.
Mercy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. In the Old Testament scripture, a bunch of scripture says, I'm going to sing
yes.
to his mercy. I could sing of his mercy. I could sing of his mercy all the time.
I could sing of it.
I could sing of his mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sing of the goodness.
I could sing of his mercy all day. He's been merciful to me.
Hallelujah. You know, the intent and the purpose of God toward mankind, toward people, toward us has always been to bless us. That's always been his intent.
Amen.
If you look throughout the Bible from the beginning of days, all throughout, God's intent, the focus, one of the central focuses of a covenant relationship is that he wanted to bless his people.
Amen.
He wanted to bless them with his love. He wanted to bless them with his peace. All throughout the Bible, we see this concept of God's blessing. It's all throughout the Bible, everywhere, because it's always been God's intent for his people. And so always throughout the Bible, from the beginning of days through the end of days, we see the blessing. We see the act of the blessing. We see where blessings were invoked upon people. These acts, many times, they number one, were a public display of a favored status with God. Do you know that you have a favored status with God? Hallelujah. We have a favored status with God. We are highly favored of God. We have a status with God as God's kid. I mean, there's nothing any higher or any better that we could be than being the child of God. Hallelujah. In the Bible, we would see that act of the laying on of hands, of speaking a blessing over someone. It also, with that blessing, there was an endowment of power upon the lives of God's people to bring prosperity in their life, to bring success. And when I talk about prosperity, I'm not talking about just biblical prosperity. I'm talking about the fullness of that word shalom. I'm talking about the shalom of God, the peace of God, the wholeness of God, the fullness of God, the peace of God, nothing lacking, nothing broken, everything that was of God. We see that that's God's intent in the blessing, is that we would have prosperity in this life. That people would look at us and say, wow, things are good for them. Even though there's trials and tribulations, to see the goodness of God upon our life, to see his prosperity and the success of God. Hallelujah. The blessing causes grace to be upon us. The blessing causes authority to be upon us. The blessing causes God's authority to be upon us. And we ought to have a real understanding of the truth of the power that is in the blessing. Come on, there is a power that is in the blessing of God being upon our lives. And we need to understand that, not minimize that. You know, sometimes we'll say, oh, bless so-and-so. Listen, those are powerful words right there. Well, we can't negate the power of those words and throw it off as something just like a wish or a hope or something that's minimal. We're talking about the blessing of God. That's what God's intent is for us, is to be blessed of Him, where we can see His hand upon our life, where we can know that His goodness, His love, His grace, His mercy, His peace, His joy, everything is upon our life at all times. You know, one thing about the blessing is it ought to motivate us and guide us to live within the parameters of the blessing. Now, the blessing of God is always there, but like Pastor was talking this morning, that sometimes we do things that in our heart causes us a little stepping out of that umbrella with God. So understanding the blessing of a life in God, with God's favor, with God's ability, God's power, God's wisdom, everything that God is, He is. God is Himself the blessing. He is the blesser. He is the one who blesses. But He is the blessing. This life that we have with Christ is a life of the blessing of God. Hallelujah. You know, in the Old Testament, we would see that the Levites were set apart as the priestly role of God, and that they actually had the right to pronounce blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, guess who today are kings and priests in the earth? We are. We are the people of God. We are the kings and the priests. Within us is the ability to bless other people, to understand the blessing, to release the blessing, to command the blessing, to invoke the blessing. This is a powerful thing, this blessing of God in our life. We need to understand the reality of it. This morning, we're going to bless you in the name of the Lord. And the reason we're going to do that is because not that we, you know, we talk about it all the time. It's not necessarily in the outward something, but it's from the place of our heart connected with God's desire. And so last week, you remember we had child dedication. What a wonderful time where we actually got to bless the families as they were committing their child to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And I told you last week that on Saturday, prior to a Sunday, I was running some errands and I stepped out of my car and the Lord just said to me something about instructing the parents to believe in the time of blessing, that when we were going to lay hands on them, that the blessing of God, a real tangible something of God, would come upon them if they would believe that. Praise the Lord. So Sunday morning, y'all got here, we were in the middle of that, and I shared that with them so that they could, with their faith, connect with what God was doing. I believe that last Sunday, things happened for those parents. I believe that things of the blessing were placed upon those children that will show out and prove out in the days that are to come. Well, as I was sitting there Sunday and Pastor was preaching a good message, I took notes and everything. And I remember right where he was at, he was preaching on Romans chapter 8 and talking. All of a sudden, the Lord just said to me, as clear as a bell, He said, the blessing is for everyone. And when He said it, I wrote it down and I put the blessing in capital letter, the blessing. Because that was how the Lord said it to me. See, the blessing really is much bigger than what we think. We get very focused in sometimes on a particular something, but I'm talking about the blessing, the all of God, everything that God is. He said that that's for everyone. And then He told me this. He said, I want you to lay hands and speak the blessing on all the people. Amen. Because My blessing is for everyone. And so I asked the Lord, but the message was so good, you know, and this was, I wasn't sure how this was going to work out or pan out. I said, well, Lord, can we do it next week? Because I wanted to be obedient to the Lord. If the Lord wanted it done right there, I'd have just interrupted Pastor and we'd have just gone for it. But the Lord said it was okay to do it today. So we're releasing the blessing at the instruction of the Lord. Two things today with the blessing is, number one, the laying on of hands. You need to understand that in Hebrews chapter 6, the laying on of hands is a basic doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's a basic doctrine. It's a belief. It's a principle in the church that God instituted, the laying on of hands, that when those hands are laid, that things happen, spiritual things happen. Blessings are invoked. The peace of God comes upon. Favor is produced. Something in that moment, tangible of God, is released in that moment if you can believe. Today, when we lay hands, we're going to lay hands for the blessing, not a blessing, not just a particular something, although that may happen, but we're releasing the blessing, not just for today, but for the days going forward. There's something about this blessing when we lay hands. It's actually a symbolic act that sets individuals apart, and it signifies the imparting of something spiritual. Something spiritual is going to come upon you today. Something spiritual is going to be activated in you today. Something spiritual of the blessing is going to be put upon you, is going to be stamped on you, is going to be called into existence in the spiritual realm. So if all of heaven can see it. Listen, let me tell you something about the blessing. The blessing represents God, the goodness of God, all that He is, and all that He is in opposition to darkness, to trials, to tribulations, to the curse, to opposition, to things that are standing in your way. I believe that the blessing has the ability to break through things that are standing in opposition of you, of things that God has for you, of things that God has ordained for your life. I believe that the blessing in the moment can break through, bring forth things in this hour. Why do we do this? Because number one, God said to. But number two, because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of the blessing. We need to be stirred up in the blessing. You know, I understand the scripture says we're blessed. I know that. I am blessed. I'm blessed at all times. But listen, there's a lot of times I've been in meetings before and I'm just thinking, boy, if they would just lay their hands on me and speak a blessing. I just wanting something of God to come upon me more. Something of God to be released in that hour. Amen? That's what we're going to do today. So we're going to do it with the laying on of hands, and then also, you know, the power of our words, right? That life and death are in the power of the tongue. Come on, there's something about, there's a significance in speaking the blessing. There's something in that moment where heaven and earth records that blessing being released upon your life. I love this. The first words that God ever spoke over Adam and Eve were a word of blessing. It was a word of blessing. Be blessed. Be fruitful, multiply, be blessed. The very first thing that God did was spoke a blessing upon His people. And the very last words that Jesus spoke over the assembled group of disciples as He was ascending to heaven was a word of blessing. Hallelujah. God is in the blessing business. Jesus was always blessing. He was found blessed. When Peter had the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, he said, "Blessed are you, Peter." He blessed when the children came to him. He was always blessing and teaching his disciples to bless others because it's significant in our lives, the spoken blessing. When there's a blessing that comes from the heart of God in a moment, like last week when the Lord said, "The blessing is for everyone." That makes that, it's a prophetic enactment at a moment from the heart of God. And because of it, it carries with it the power to do that word, to do that blessing. I believe that this morning when we bless you, although it may be short and it may be very precise, we're not going to pray, we're going to bless you. We're just going to speak the blessing and release it. That God is going to do in that moment just what is spoken, that the blessing is going to come upon you. Hallelujah. The blessing does carry an impartation. Many things can be done in a moment of blessing. Many things of the Spirit of God, spiritual blessings, can be imparted in that moment. This is all of God. It's what God's desire for us is that we would know the blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you confident in the blessing? You know, in the Bible, just like parents have a mandate from God to be able to speak a blessing over their children, did you know that in the Bible there's a mandate from God that leaders can speak a blessing over those that they lead and those that they serve? Amen? That's very, very true. It's also, like Pastor said, you have to connect your faith with it. Believe in the blessing. Believe in the moment of the blessing that something is going to happen to you. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.